excited to open up the Word. How many enjoy movies? Anybody enjoy movies? I love movies. That's like my veg time. But you know why I love movies? It's because I get to veg. I get to check out and just be entertained. Do you know that church isn't a time to check out? It's not a time to be entertained. We're not up here just, trying to be funny. But it's a great opportunity to be fed. Can I just tell you, we are in a season in our lives where it's a good time to be fed. So I want to encourage you. You know, it shows us in the epistles how it's our responsibility to be fed. And the church brings the meal, but, you know, we don't spoon feed it. It takes you taking what we're feeding you and taking it in and digesting it. So I want to encourage you this morning, don't relax like you're at a movie. Who's the one that puts their foot up on the seat in front of them? Jimmy's that guy. Or get bored and throw popcorn. Hopefully you're not that guy or girl. But I want to encourage you, pull on the gift, because this is a feeding time when you're in church. And it's important in this season in our life that you get full for everything going on in your life. So can I say that nicely? And so we're going to open up the Word of God. I'm excited this morning. I had a season in my life probably three, four months ago, and I was folding some laundry, just kind of puttering around the house, getting stuff done, and this song came up in my heart. It's an old-time song. Anybody remember the song, following, I have decided to follow Jesus. Can't remember it now. I have decided to follow Jesus. And, it talks about deciding to follow in Jesus and no turning back, no turning back. And I thought, well, that's odd. I haven't heard that song in forever. And it was just like, so I went about doing the rest of, my stuff around the house, and that song kept coming up. And all of a sudden, I felt a little nudge by the Holy Spirit. Anybody ever been nudged by God where you feel like he's talking to you? And I heard these words just in my heart, not with my physical ears, but just, are you? Are you, Kathy? And I was like, what? Well, yes. Yes, I'm following you. I forgot. I wanted to be a dentist. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. I'm in the ministry. Yes, I'm following you. But just as that song kept repeating in my heart, I really felt like the Lord was saying to me, who's in the driver's seat, Kathy? Is it voices that are driving you? Is it circumstances that are driving you? Is it influence? Do you make your decisions out of influence? And I had to really, get on my knees and go back to that first love. The Bible talks about in Corinth that Paul came and he chastised them and said, hey, wait a second, you've lost your first love. And what happens is we can just be kind of robotic. If doesn't matter if you're in the beginning stages of a relationship with the Lord, in the middle, you've been a Christian forever, we got to be super careful not to just be robotic. Well, this is what we do as believers. I come to church and I do a devotional and I pray when someone says they're sick. I'm going to pray for you, but do we really pray for them? Do we really know what the Word of God says when it comes to being a believer and an active believer? And so I personally had to go before God and say, okay, God, you are in the driver's seat. I'm not going to allow the direction of our life. Sometimes we can allow our emotions or our feelings to be that directions. Our friends are those things that influence be that direction. Maybe we can allow the need for approval to be that direction. But it's important that we want to follow Jesus. So I started to self-evaluate, how is it in life that we lose Jesus? Now, we might say to ourselves, well, we can't lose Jesus because Jesus' word says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. It says that he will never leave us, but it doesn't say that we will not lose him or leave him. It doesn't say that the actions in our life turn down the volume of his influence or his voice in our life. In fact, I was just thinking about it. In the book of Luke, it tells us who lost Jesus. Remember, his parents. And that is not a good feeling. So Mary and Joseph had gone to the Passover and brought their whole family, and Jesus was there with them. And anybody ever lost a child? I'll have to raise my hand. I have a couple times. It was 3 days later. Talk about panic. 3 days later, and talk about marital strife. I imagine Mary said to Joseph, I saw Jesus with you last. And Joseph might have said, hey, you know what? I packed up the donkey. I closed down the stable. I did this. I did that. He's your son. How we do. Instead of looking for the child, we point fingers. But what happened when they found Jesus? They might have thought at age 12 he'd be out on the soccer field or maybe playing with his cousins. But what does the Word of God says? They said the Word of God says that they found Jesus in his father's house. He was there learning scripture. So I want to encourage you this morning. I looked at my own life and say, okay, so where or what areas do we lose Jesus? I believe there's three seasons or three areas in our life we can look at when it comes to where the danger zones that we lose Jesus. I begin to identify in my own life, and I call that area the middle. The middle. So there's the beginning of things in our life, right? A new marriage, it's beginning, it's exciting. A new relationship, you know, a boyfriend and a girlfriend for the first time going on their first date. Maybe a new season in your life where you're starting at a new school or going away to college. It's new. It's the beginning. Starting a new career. It's exciting. The expectation of what's to come. And then there's the ending season in our life, right? You finally saw your child walk across the stage and they're graduating. Woo! We're ending that you've been waiting to read, and it's a good book. Or maybe finally paying that last payment on that car loan. That's an ending, right? The Bible talks about that there is joy in ending or completion. So we have excitement over here in the beginning, and then we have joy or completion in the ending. But what about the middle? The middle is that long time in space where you thought, well, I think I wanted to start this, but now in the middle, it's just a little too hard. Now in the middle, I just don't know if I want to quit school. Now in the middle, I'm not sure that I'm as committed to this marriage as I thought I was. In the beginning, he was Prince Charming. And now all of a sudden I feel like I'm waking up next to Shrek. Or maybe she was the queen or the princess, but her attitude is more like a feisty Fiona. Or you're smelling smells that come out of the bedroom that you thought, okay, this isn't what I signed up for in the beginning, but now I'm just being real. Because you know what? The sad thing is it's in the middle that many people leave a church. It's in the middle that many people quit their career. It's in the middle that many people give up writing. It's in the middle that many people give up on their dreams. So as a church, as a body of Christ, we need to talk about and be equipped for the middle. If we talked about being equipped for the middle, we'd have much less divorce. We would have much less people crashing and failing, because in the middle is where I believe you can find your miracle. You know, even the world itself talks about the middle, right? What do they call it? The midlife crisis? When you see somebody doing something erratic, you think to yourself, they must be going through a midlife crisis. That is insane. That is a label. I say that we do the middle life the best that we can, right? We don't have to but we can do it well. We don't have to quit. So I want to encourage you this morning. There's a story in the Word of God in Mark chapter 6, verse 45. I'm going to ask that you turn there, and then we're going to pray and dive right into the scripture. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Word of God today. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that this be a time of enrichment for our spirits, an enrichment for our souls, our mind, our will, and our emotion. Father, I believe that each and every single person in this room was born for such a time as this. This is not a quitting season. This is not a deterred or distracted season. But Father, this is a season of growth and direction and Father, intentionality. So we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So Mark chapter 6, verse 45. I'm going to set this story up for you just a little bit. The disciples were there with Jesus, and they had tons and tons and tons of people there. And they started to kind of panic a little bit because the crowd was getting really hungry. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I would have felt pressure. I would have been like, why didn't you bring your own lunch? But that's just, I guess, my personality. But Jesus here had compassion, and he said to the disciples, we're going to feed the crowd. And the disciples came and said, hey, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You are familiar with it. They had this huge miracle, and everybody was fed. And then Jesus ministered the word. And at that time, I mean, the disciples are feeling really good about themselves. I mean, I'm sure people were like, oh, they're with Jesus. Oh, this is so cool. Man, they fed everybody, and there's even leftovers. You know, there's seasons in our life as believers where it's really great. I mean, we're on top of the world. God is working on our behalf. And then there's other seasons where I think that the disciples were probably ridiculed. The disciples were maybe pointed at. I mean, when Jesus spoke the word and said, hey, you'll partake of this, my flesh, and drink my blood. I'm sure that the disciples were like, I'm not sure if I'm ready to follow. I mean, the Bible talks about that. And so there's the beginning, the middle, and the end. And here, there's some instructions that Jesus gave to the disciples. It says in chapter 6, verse 45, immediately he made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side called Bethesda. While he sent the multitude away, and then he, being Jesus, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now evening came, and the boat was what? In the middle of the sea, and he was alone on land. So we're going to look and see, how did the disciples handle being in the middle? On the shore, it was safe. On the shore was exciting because that's where Jesus was and all the miracles and the excitement. But when they left the shore to get to the other side, we'll see that actually a storm came, the wind, the rain. And I want to encourage you, it's easy to stay settled on the shore. It's easy to stay settled in a safe place. But there are seasons in our life where we have to go from one shore to another shore. A lot of people will stay on the shore and not go out in the middle. But it's important that we recognize that when you follow Jesus, when you give your life to Jesus, he calls you to do things that are what? Off the shore, right? Anybody ever gotten instructions where you're like, oh, no, I don't think that you're calling me to do that, but he is. And it's important to recognize that. But, you know, Jesus, here, he gave the disciples instructions, right? What did he say? He said, go to Bethesda. But we like the Jesus on the shore. We don't like the Jesus on the with the instructions. You know, the Jesus with the instructions says it's better to give than it is to receive. Well, I don't know about that. The Jesus with the instructions says that it's better to be a servant. If you want to be great in kingdom, you have to be a servant. The Jesus that has instructions is saying, well, you know, it's important to be in the Word of God and read the scripture. Well, I don't know if I want to do that. I would rather you just pray and, you know, just deliver a miracle to me. The Jesus and the instruction says that it's important to tithe and to be a giver. Well, I don't know. I would rather, you know, just believe God for a check in the mail, right? But it's important for us to recognize that we love the Jesus with the instruction and the Jesus that is the miracle worker. I can remember about 3 years ago, we needed some furniture in the house, and we had a family in the church that said, oh, you got to go to IKEA. They have the best things there. Anybody an IKEA shopper? We went to IKEA, and I walked in, you go up the elevator, and there's all these beautiful pieces of furniture. I mean, just gorgeous. And I'm like, oh, I like that, and I like that. I'm grabbing stuff. There was like this little end table. I got the end table. I put it in my basket. And then I go through like the dishes. The dishes are like so cheap. All this stuff. I have my basket full. I go up to the register, and the lady says to me, what are you doing? I was like, I'm buying this. And she's like, no, what are you doing with the table in your cart? And I said, well, this is a store that sells furniture. I'm buying the furniture. And she says, no, you can't have this. You have to go to like aisle G, row 25. That is where you'll get your table. Oh, okay. You know, she takes it out. I'm like, wow, she's a little moody. So then I go down to aisle G, row 25, and there's boxes there. I'm like, what? So I go back up to the front. I say to the lady, there are no tables there. There's boxes there. And she looks at me and starts talking to me like I'm a preschooler. She's like, you're going to take the box down, and in the box you will find the instructions, and you are going to put the table together. That's how we do it here. And I was like, I said, no. I want to buy it put together. Do you have it put together? And I'm like, angrily, she's like, Roji, aisle 25. And so why do I tell you that today? Many of us will see a marriage that we really like, and we're like, I want that marriage. And God's saying, Roji, aisle 25. You'll find it in my word. And many of us are saying, well, I want this special, you know, super girlfriend or boyfriend, but we don't want to work on ourselves. And God's saying, Roji, aisle 25. We're saying, oh, I just want the abundance of God to work in my life. I want the blessing of God in my life. We just want it to come to us. And God's saying, hey, Roji, aisle 25. There are certain things that we have to work on our own, things that we have to accomplish. It's great to say, you know, hey, pray for us, entertain us. But Jesus is saying, it's our responsibility to receive that and take that. In human nature, we often want to follow the familiar, right? We don't want to follow the familiar. We want to follow the spectacular. But I'm telling you, it's in the everyday things that the miracle will show up. It's in the everyday discipline of being in the Word, the everyday discipline of having a prayer life, the everyday discipline of cultivating a relationship with Christ. We want that marriage, and we got to do the work for it. We have that goal, then we have to do the work for it. Can I just tell you, with everything going on in the world, all the chaos, it's really easy to sit back and just watch the blessings of God be on everyone else and think to ourselves, woe is me. But that is not the God that we serve. The God is not a respecter of person. He wants to pour blessing out on you. So we're going to go on and continue to read Mark chapter 6, verse 47. So now the evening had come. The disciples are now in their boat. And where were they found? They were found in the middle of the sea. And he was alone on the land. Verse 48. I love this. This isn't necessarily what we like to read in the Bible, but it's an opportunity of growth. It says in verse 48, then he saw them straining at rowing. Pastor John, can you hear me that? For the wind was against them. Now was about the fourth watch of the night, and he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them. What? I mean, Jesus saw them out in the storm and they were rowing and they were straining and they had fear and they had concern and Jesus was going to pass them by. Why would he do that? You know, I liken it to be a little bit like parents being on the sidelines at a soccer game or a volleyball game or, you know, and you got, you know, young Johnny out there and all of a sudden the softball hits him in the arm and, you know, he falls to his knees and he's crying. We have a choice as a parent. We can run out on that field, baby, bring a stretcher and make sure he's okay. Or we can stay on the sidelines and say, you know what, Johnny, you can make it. Shrug off that pain. I'm cheering you on. You go, you go, you don't quit. I want to tell you that there's levels of faith. Pastor Sam talked about faith last week and growing in God and not giving into fear. There's levels. There's a mountain that we're all climbing on this road of faith. And Jesus wants to take you to that next level. There's a level of trust. When you're in the middle and the storms come, you find out what's really in your middle. When you say you trust God and the storms come and you're struggling, you're wearing that church face, but you're really struggling at the oar with your marriage. You're wearing that church face and you're really struggling at the oar in your commitment. I don't even know if I love God or not anymore. Everything's going on. You're really struggling. I know that he says that he's my healer, but when am I going to see your healing? I want to encourage you today. Jesus was right beside the boat and he saw what the disciples were going through. In fact, if you read further on, it talks about that that he saw them and they didn't even recognize who Jesus was. They thought he was a ghost. You want to know why? Because they knew Jesus who was on the shore that had sand underneath his sandals. It wasn't until they got out in the middle that they knew Jesus who walked on water. I want to encourage you, if you're in a storm right now, you want the Jesus that walks on water. You want to see his power work in your life. It's in the middle that you find the miracle. But individuals find that it's too risky to be in the middle. They want to stay on the shore. They want to go back to that habit of drinking. It just dulls my senses. I want to go back to that premarital affair because it's just easier. It feels good to my flesh. I want to go back to not even trying anymore, Kathy. It's just more comfortable. On the shore is comfort. But you know what? What happens when you get out in the water and you get in the middle and you start paddling, you start believing God, you start staking your ground with faith, and you say, this is what God's promised me. The enemy doesn't start to attack in the beginning because why? He knows you're excited. It's once you get in the middle, when you've made that commitment, that all of a sudden there's havoc in your house. It's once you get in the middle and you've made that commitment to sow that all of a sudden there's havoc in your finances. It's once you've committed, like, hey, I'm going to bring this to my marriage, and all of a sudden you can't anymore because you've made mistakes. I want to encourage you that in the middle is where the power is, because you know what? If you can struggle and you can paddle past that, that's the giant that you kill when you get further away from the shore onto the other side. The enemy knows that one stroke past the middle and to your future is where you win. You get closer to the finish line the further you paddle. I want to encourage you this morning. If you are in a storm currently and you're in the middle, I want to encourage you. You have what it takes to overcome. The Bible talks about greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. You can tell people that have made it through the middle. Have you ever heard a song that someone's written and it's so powerful? You're like, they made it to the other side. They're through the middle. Have you ever seen a marriage that like they're in 40, 50 years and there's such joy? You're like, they made it through the middle. Have you ever seen someone who's successful and they don't have to flaunt their success, but they just are? They made it through the middle. You're not going to climb higher until you go through things. I want to encourage you this morning, pick yourself up. You can make it through the middle. I wanted to share, I wrote down this saying I'm going to drop that. The shore will never give you that. It might not entertain you like it did the crowds, but it will sustain you for any storm that comes in your life. No shore will ever give you that. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't stay in the safe place. Believe God for what you're believing God for. There's many of you that have been told by God that you're to write a book, have been told by God that you're to lead in this generation. Many of you that have been told that you're called to support financially a missionary, and you're like, how, God? I can't even pay my bills. You're in the middle of the storm. You have to push through. I love the ending of this passage because God is who we'll find in the middle. The ending of this passage in verse 50, Jesus turns. Now, he sees that they're terrified. He sees that they're concerned. But he turns to them and he says, whoa, wait a second. There's three things. Number one, take courage. He's saying to you and I today, no matter where we are, if we're in the beginning, if we're in the middle, if we're at the end, he wants us to take courage. You know, courage is something that you can take, obviously, if that's what he's saying. We can take doubt. We can take fear. Pastor Sam had a great message last week about putting away fear, standing in faith. But the Bible here is saying, take courage. You know, I believe that means that we should be surrounding ourselves with courageous people. If you have people in your life that are doubting and are speaking death and not cheering you on, that's not adding to your courage. The Bible says to take courage. And I love, secondly, he says, it is I. It is I. You know, that's the same I that in the Old Testament, when he said, who sent you? Tell them the great I am. It is I. Jesus is working on your behalf. That's not just words that we say. It has to be what we believe in the middle of the storm, in the middle of chaos. What is it that you believe? The disciples had this word, go to Bethsaida. Or they could have said, oh, I wonder if I'm going to get out in the middle and die. I wonder if I'm going to get out in the middle. And did Jesus even know? No, they had to say, wait, he said he's going to meet us on the other side. They had to take this word in the storm. Hold on to this word. Stand on this word. I hate to say this, but some people in the storm just sit back and go, wherever the winds are going to take me. And I just tell you, it breaks my heart because it's affecting generations. You look at this generation and what they're going through and what they're exposed to and the decisions that they're having to make. I take responsibility for that because I'm in the generation above them. I want to protect them. I want to teach them. I want to put tools in their hand how to make it in the middle. But if we as parents are not making it in the middle and we aren't trying our best and we're not giving our best to God, then guess what? That influences them. And then it influences the next generation. And I want to encourage you today, do not give up in the middle. Jesus says in verse 50, take courage. Hello, it is I, or it is I. And then lastly, do not fear. There's so much for us to fear today. Moms and dads, you have responsibility. Do not allow fear into your home. the Bible talks about guard your tongue. The conversations that I'm having with people, I just take deep breaths and just blow out because I refuse to give air to what the enemy's trying to do. Remember, you're on a trip. You're paddling. You're getting to the other side. And every time we open our mouth and we take that on and we claim that and we take it as our own and we discuss it around our dinner table and this is what we have to do, I'm all about being real. I'm as real as you get. I'm as transparent as you get. But you know what? I'm real about not allowing that fear into my home. Not allowing those things to take away from us. I'm going to ask our music ministry to come at this time. So today I want to leave you with that. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Jesus wants you to get to the other side. What are those things that you've put up on a shelf that you've kind of just said, I guess that's just not for me now. I don't know about you, but I think God is looking for people that will make a connection between culture and Christ and not compromise. As a church, we have to make the connection. We cannot say, well, that's the world. That's what's going on in the world. We're going to be the church. God wants to take culture and Christ and bring us together where we are the influencers. What I love about this story is if you read on, that in when they left the shore and they started out into the middle, they got to the other side of the shore. And when they got there, the Bible says that people were waiting for them. I could just imagine that the people on the other side of the shore were saying, wow, how did you make it through that storm? Oh my gosh, I thought you would have died. Did you see the wind and the waves? And oh my gosh. And the disciples got to get to the other side and say, Jesus was in the middle of that storm. My miracle was there. The water walking Jesus, I saw his power like I never saw before. And you know, that's the life we're called to. When our neighbor says, how did you make it through that divorce? How did you get free from drugs? How did you say no to that sexual encounter? How? The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. That power worked on my behalf, and he can be your miracle too. I'm telling you, God is looking for a people that will make the connection between culture and Christ and not compromise. Why don't we stand to our feet? We're going to